live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, it's 5 o'clock. This is the main evening news on Highland Radio with Donal Kavanagh. In this bulletin, the Taoiseach says people who needlessly put themselves in danger during storms should be prosecuted. There are currently 16 ESP customers without power in Donegal. The fault is centred around the Stranorra area. A young Letterkenny girl has spoken out after being viciously beaten in the town at the weekend. Donegal County Council and Derry City and Strabane District Council say the joint Northwest Trade mission to Boston next month will see some very different industries from Donegal and Derry working together to find new markets. And the University of Ulster at McGee says it's working to find a solution to drainage issues which is causing flooding in the vicinity of Dunvale Park. Later in the bulletin at around 5:15, we'll have the sports news with Kenny Harkin. Good evening. The Taoiseach says people who needlessly put themselves in danger during storms should be prosecuted. Swimmers were spotted in Salthill in Galway, while the Coast Guard Helicopter Rescue 116 responded to two kite surfers in Dundalk yesterday at the height of ex-Hurricane Ophelia. The Taoiseach, Leo Radker, says those who endanger first responders should face consequences.
Not only did those people who disobeyed the safety warnings put themselves at risk, they also put the lives of the emergency services at risk too. And we had two incidents yesterday which almost cost the lives of members of our emergency services, and we were that close to there being many more fatalities than occurred yesterday.
Well, Mr. Radker also confirmed to the Dáil that schools and school buses will resume tomorrow, but it could take up to 10 days for all electricity, water and phone lines to be fully restored to worst affected areas. There are currently 16 ESP customers without power in Donegal. They're centred around the Stranorra area. The fault was reported shortly after 2 o'clock this afternoon. As of yet, there is no estimate being offered by the ESP as to when supplies are going to be restored there. A young Letterkenny girl has spoken out after being viciously beaten in the town at the weekend. 18-year-old Shannon Reid MacDade was walking by Market Square at around 3 o'clock on Sunday morning when a man approached her and proceeded to punch her repeatedly in the face, causing her extensive injuries. Her attacker hasn't yet been located, but Gardaí and Letterkenny say they're continuing their investigations. They're urging anyone with information to come forward. Well, earlier today, Shannon spoke of her horrific ordeal to Greg Hughes on the 9 till noon show.
Gaffer, he hit me once, I fell to the ground, and then he just hit me when I was on the ground. It just didn't strike me that he would do anything like that at all. At the time, I didn't remember knowing him or seeing him, but no one saw. I know it's crazy, but at that busy public place, no one saw. I don't know if I was unconscious for a while on the ground or if I just got myself straight back up, but I just remember, I don't know why he left, but as soon as he left, in my head, I think I got straight up and ran over to the boys, and when I came, they genuinely didn't have a clue what was going on. They were literally 20 steps away from me, and they still had no idea that that had just happened. I think he was around, between 5'8 and 6 foot.
Right, so he wasn't towering over you?
Yeah, he wasn't that tall, and I was wearing heels too, so we were more
on
of a similar
power.
Height.
Okay.
I'm fairly confident, not 100% sure, just that he was wearing a white or light coloured shirt with a navy or a dark blazer and jeans, not part of a suit kind of thing. That's what I remember about. I can't remember.
And his hair, did he have hair? Was he bald?
He had hair. It was brown, light brown. Wasn't black, wasn't blonde, it wasn't ginger. I remember listening to him and I didn't think he sounded any way different or from down the country or
yeah.
I feel he just sounded like me. I'm okay. I have a few bruises on my face, but I'm gonna be okay. But if that was such a public place, if that had happened down some little alley when he met a girl down there, I don't think he'd stop if he just had a girl on her own alone.
And that was Shannon Reid MacDade speaking there to Greg on the 9 till noon show today. Donegal County Council and Derry City and Strabane District Council say the joint Northwest Trade mission to Boston next month will see two very different industries from Donegal and Derry working together to find new markets. two such dissimilar companies, which the councils say actually have a lot in common, are Neuroconcise from Derry and Sharon McDade of the Silver Birch Gallery and Studio in Carndonagh in Donegal. They're embarking on a joint venture to help people with restricted movement benefit from art. With more, here's Trish Laverty.
Neuroconcise is a neurotechnology research and innovation company based at Ulster University's McGee campus in Derry, while Sharon McDade from Silver Birch Gallery and Studio undertakes large-scale commissions for public and corporate buildings, as well as commissions from private collectors. They are now looking at a collaboration to create technologies that enable people with restricted movement to benefit from the therapeutic benefits of art. Neuroconcise CEO Damien Coyle founded the company last year to build wearable neurotechnology that's underpinned by award-winning research and development that he conducted over 15 years at Ulster University, where he's also a professor. Donegal County Council and Derry City and Strabane District Council say they have arranged meetings and business networking events for all the companies taking part in the Boston mission. This is the second trade mission to Boston organised by the two councils, with other participating organisations including Uderos na Gaeltachta, Ulster University, Letterkenny Institute of Technology and the Northwest Regional College.
And there is more detail on that collaboration on our website, highlandradio.com. The University of Ulster at McGee has confirmed it's working to find a solution to drainage issues which is affecting homes in Dunvale Park. It follows flooding there in recent months, with homes bordering the playing fields at the university site on Duncreggan Road particularly affected. The work involves the installation of a new drainage system and also involves NI Water and the Rivers Agency working to ensure there are no blockages in their water lines running through the site. Well, earlier, local councillor Mickey Cooper spoke to Rory Williams.
It's not the first time this has happened. There was a less serious incident previously, so we knew there was an issue with the actual water courses coming through the pitches, but frankly now, because the university has agreed to install a new system, that will be averted in the future.
And what do we know about this new drainage system? What kind of work is going to be involved, and how long is it possibly going to take?
So it'll be taking place within the next financial year, so we don't have an exact date yet, but the residents are aware of that. It'll involve several new drainage lines being installed at different parts of the pitches. There was actually two separate flows of water which caused the issues in August, so the new installations will address both of those. In terms of the flooding, the actual reason why the water has come in that particular location is directly linked to the fact there's actually a stream that flows right from the Craigan area down through the Glen Road and actually runs down through the direction of the pitches. And unfortunately, the houses are obviously in the direct path of the pitches. So by default of the location of the estate has been something that's always been there. In terms of planning for what happened in August, people are aware in terms of the whole city and district, nobody would have anticipated that level of water coming through. So it was actually, in some cases, surface water that got out of the drainage system, and in other cases there was possibly a slight blockage in one of the systems there, but I've arranged for NI Water and the Rivers Agency to inspect their drains within the pitches area, and that's removed any blockages that are there. So between those pieces of work and the new drainage being installed, as I said, that'll divert any water flows completely from the site, and then it'll allow natural flow eventually into the River Foyle, which is where the stream would actually run its course to.
And that was Derry Councillor Mickey Cooper speaking there to Rory Williams. The HSE has confirmed that CV Respite House in Mount Charles is only operating on a three-night basis due to staff shortages. It follows reports last week that families who use the centre were struggling due to a lack of resources. The centre provides respite for children and adults with intellectual disabilities and or autism on a rotational basis, serving the southwest Donegal area. With more, here is Rory Williams.
In a statement today, the HSE has apologised for the curtailment of respite services at Seaview House over the last few months, which has occurred as a result of staff shortages due to illness, leave and retirement. They are continuing to work with colleagues in the National Recruitment Service to try to recruit and replace staff in as timely a manner as possible. The HSE wish to confirm that one healthcare assistant commenced on the 2nd of October and other healthcare assistant appointments are in process. Currently, the service can only operate on a three-night basis. Which nights it is open will vary depending on the request received. The HSE is aware of the importance of this service for families in South Donegal and of the difficulties that this situation has caused for everyone involved. They remain committed to ensuring that the respite service resumes on a full-time basis as soon as all the staffing vacancies are filled.
Bill Clinton says the Good Friday Agreement was quite something. The former US president has been given an honorary doctorate at Dublin City University this afternoon. He told the conferral that the peace process here was influential right across the world.
It was really quite something. There had never been any peace agreement exactly like it before. And it broke like a thundercloud across the world. And other people were fighting in other places. And they had to stop and say, well, really, do I want to put our children's generation through this? Or if they could pull this off after all those decades, maybe we could too.
The government is being urged to make it illegal for landlords to evict someone into homelessness. The Jesuit Centre says the government's housing strategy isn't working and more social units are necessary. The organisation's Margaret Burns says it should be a criminal offence to leave someone without a home.
Since most people are coming into homelessness through being evicted from the private rented sector, one way is to bring in a law that makes it impossible for landlords to evict people into homelessness, as they have in other countries.
Serious concern has been raised over a high level of antisocial behaviour in Bunkrana. It's understood the situation is confined to the Ferris Lane area of the town, where a gang of 20 to 30 youths have been congregating, shouting abuse at residents and letting off fireworks. The issue has been reported to Gardaí. The Cathaoirleach of the Inishowen Municipal District, Councillor Jack Murray, says there is an onus on parents to know where their children are.
It's been very, very abusive to local residents, very threatening. They've been letting off fireworks and really making their lives hell in that area. And I suppose there's growing concern that as we get closer to Halloween, that's going to increase, and the likes of fireworks and that kind of antisocial behaviour is going to increase. So I'd be calling on parents to check where their child might happen to be. If they were aware that they're involved in this type of antisocial behaviour, then please advise them not to do it and keep them at home, because it's really making the people of Ferris Lane their lives hell.
And I'm sure in particular for residents in the area who might be elderly and living alone, it would be particularly frightening for them.
Of course, yeah, for elderly people, it's a terrifying experience. Such a large gang of youths would be very, very intimidating. And also for very young children too, it's very intimidating. And for anybody in that area, because it's such a large gang, it's very scary for those people. Now, the guards are aware of this. The guards are acting on it. And some of the names of the kind of leaders of the group will be well known. So I would just really now, it'll come down to the parents. There's a large group of people that would ask parents there to check where your child might be and try and bring an end to this.
And that was Councillor Jack Murray speaking there to Catherine Gaffney. It's 5:15.
Go the distance this autumn in lightweight running shoes at Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure Letterkenny. Sponsors of Highland Radio Sport. MichaelMurphySports.ie.
We say good evening to Kenny Harkin.
Thanks, Donal. Good evening. We'll start with soccer, and the Republic of Ireland will face Denmark in next month's World Cup playoffs. The Danes finished second in Group E, 5 points adrift of winners Poland. Ireland will play the first leg in Copenhagen on Saturday, November the 11th, before returning to Aviva 3 days later. That's Tuesday the 14th. Both games have 7:45 starts. Manager Martin O'Neill says being at home in the second leg's a big plus.
Delighted, I suppose, to be drawn away from home first, and so try and get some sort of advantage, or certainly negate Denmark's advantages before we get to Dublin.
Well, Northern Ireland, they'll be at home to Switzerland in the first leg of their playoff, which is Thursday the 9th of November, 7:45 kickoff. Their away leg then is on Sunday the 12th, that's at 5 o'clock. Boss Michael O'Neill, he says they're pleased they avoided Italy, but know that it'll be tough against a side who only lost once one of their last 20 World Cup qualifiers.
Switzerland had a great campaign, you know, 9 wins and only a defeat away in Portugal. I think, to be honest, their qualification group was possibly the easiest group, to be honest, without being disrespectful to them. But I think hopefully maybe they're mentally a little bit, you know, disappointed having led their group from start to finish to miss out of the automatic place.
Elsewhere in those World Cup qualifiers, Sweden, they face Italy. Croatia, they take on Greece. Well, back at home, Cork City can finally seal the SSE Electricity Premier Division title tonight. John Caulfield's side need only a point from the rearranged fixture with Derry City at Turner's Cross. Now, one side of the stadium will be closed after part of the roof at the Derry Nan stand collapsed as a result of Storm Ophelia yesterday. Kickoff on that game tonight is 7:20. Well, cross channel, it appears Craig Shakespeare has been sacked as Leicester City manager. Last night's 1-1 draw with West Brom leaves the 2016 champions in the Premier League's bottom three. Shakespeare guided Leicester to safety last season following a poor start under Claudio Ranieri. But with just 1-1 to their name from the opening 8 games of the season, Leicester's owners have called time on Shakespeare's reign. In the Champions League, Liverpool need a win in Slovenia if they're to gain a footing in the Champions League Group E. The Reds are without a win from their first two group games ahead of these back-to-back fixtures with Maribor. Elsewhere, tonight is a big game for Spurs. They're away to defending champions Real Madrid. That's in Group H. While Manchester City, they'll look to bring their sparkling domestic form into Europe when Napoli visit the Etihad in Group F. Chelsea boss Antonio Conte, he says Alvaro Morata's fit for their Champions League match with Roma tomorrow night. He missed their loss to Crystal Palace with a hamstring problem. And it's understood Arsene Wenger won't be punished by the FA for angrily confronting referee Neil Swarbrick. The Arsenal manager was furious after the official awarded a controversial penalty to Watford in their 2-1 defeat at Vicarage Road on Saturday. Wenger called the decision scandalous, but as Swarbrick hasn't flagged up the incident in his match report, the FA won't hold an inquiry. And Manchester United boss Jose Mourinho, he's rubbishing the idea he's off to Paris Saint-Germain anytime soon. The manager was quoted in the French media making positive comments about the club and saying he won't end his career at Old Trafford. But Mourinho says that he's just stating the obvious.
How is it possible in modern football that any manager is going to last 15, 20 years in the same club? If I want to finish my career in 2, 3 or 4 or 5 years, I would say yes, my ambition would be to end my career at Manchester United.
Moving on to Gaelic games, and Pat Gilroy says he's hopeful of announcing his backroom team next week. The new Dublin hurling manager says he's still in the process of putting together his coaching ticket. Gilroy says he's almost there and will put his suggestions to the county board in the coming days. In rugby, 7 weeks after the departure of Tom Tierney, the IRFU have finally begun the search for a new women's head coach. Tierney stepped down following a disappointing Irish performance during August World Cup. Candidates must have elite coaching experience, but the position has only been offered on a six-month term. And Warren Gatland says he won't take charge of another rugby union tour involving the British and Irish Lions. The Wales coach oversaw an impressive series draw against New Zealand in the summer, but he says personal abuse and negativity from the local press marred the trip. Gatland also claims he was hurt by criticism from Sean O'Brien following the tour. The next tour isn't until 2021 when the Lions head to South Africa. In snooker, Ken Doherty has been beaten in the first round of the English Open. The former world champion went down 4-1 to Northern Ireland's Gerard Green. Still to come in Barnsley, Kildare's Josh Bullough faces Dave Gilbert. And finally, this evening in cycling, Chris Froome has been given one of cycling's most prestigious titles for his achievements this year. He's picked up the Velo d'Or. That's an award given to the best rider of 2017. That's all your sport for this evening. The next sport here in Highland will be after the 8:30 news tomorrow morning. For the moment, it's back to Donal.
Thanks, Kenny. It's emerged that 40 fishing boats are being prevented from fishing for prawn, even though there is uncaught quota in Irish waters. The Donegal W. Pierce Doherty says the authorities have closed the Porcupine Bank fishing zone to prawn fisheries with the potential loss of €6 million. W. Doherty says he's been approached by a number of Donegal fishermen affected by the decision, which he claims was made over the summer with no explanation offered. He's looking for answers.
As of July of this year, the department and the SFPA have closed down the Porcupine Basin, which is an area off the west coast of Ireland where fishermen up to 40 boats have been fishing prawns. There's 600 tonnes of the quota still to be caught. And if you want to put that into just pounds and pence or euros and cents, it amounts to €6 million worth of prawns that we have a quota, but the Department of Marine will not allow their fishermen to go to sea and catch that quota. And there's serious question to ask. This is putting at risk the livelihoods of those fishermen, as each of these boats have mortgages that they have to pay off, and the payments, monthly payments, have to be made despite the fact they're not allowed to go to sea and fish.
What rationale is the department giving for stopping this fishery, given that there is still uncut quota out there?
We haven't got a rationale yet, and that's why I've decided to raise this with the minister. We've tabled a number of questions, and we want to see the evidence-based rationale for actually shutting down this basin for these fishermen. I've put in a freedom information request looking for all documentation leading up to the decision that was taken in July to close off this fishing ground to our fishermen here in Donegal and elsewhere. why did they make a decision? On what legal basis, on what scientific basis did they make this decision? This wouldn't be allowed if it happened in any other sector. You know, if we told our farmers that you simply can't farm anymore, or you can't raise chickens, or you can't raise sheep anymore, then it wouldn't be accepted, and neither should be accepted to tell our fishermen unilaterally that they cannot fish for a quota that has been given to this country, €6 million left of it to be caught, without any explanation given to them as to why this decision was taken.
And that was Deputy Piers Doherty. There were 27 patients waiting beds at Letterkenny University Hospital this morning, 14 of them on emergency department trolleys. According to the INMO, the national total was 423. The highest number, 43, was recorded at Cork University Hospital. And Ireland and Ulster rugby stars Paddy Jackson and Stuart Olding will stand trial in Belfast on charges of rape. After considering legal arguments, a judge has ruled there is enough evidence for the pair to face a Crown Court trial. From Belfast, Adam Evans reports.
25-year-old Paddy Jackson and Stuart Olding, who's 24, have appeared before Belfast magistrates for the first time since they were charged. They're accused of raping the same woman at a property in South Belfast in June last year. Both men deny all of the allegations against them. Today, they've been told they will stand trial.
And looking at the weather forecast for today, Tuesday, any showers will die out this evening with winds becoming light. It'll stay mainly dry but cold tonight with clear spells, lowest temperatures 2 to 5 degrees Celsius, a touch of frost forming in mostly light variable breezes, some mist and fog patches. Tomorrow, Wednesday, dry for much of the day with some brighter sunny spells for a time. It'll be cloudier later with some rain in the evening. Highest temperatures tomorrow of 12 or 13 degrees Celsius in light to moderate southeasterly breezes. Main stories in brief. The Taoiseach says people who needlessly put themselves in danger during storms should be prosecuted. He says those who endanger first responders should face consequences. A young Letterkenny girl has spoken out after being viciously beaten in the town at the weekend. 18-year-old Shannon Reid McDade was walking by Market Square at 3 a.m. on Sunday when she was approached by a man who punched her repeatedly in the face, causing her extensive injuries. Donegal County Council says the joint Northwest Trade Mission to Boston next month that it's promoting with Derry City and Strabane District Council will see some very different industries from Donegal and Derry working together to find new markets. There's details of a very interesting collaboration on our website, highlandradio.com, and the Ulster University at McGee is confirming it's working to find a solution to drainage issues which are causing flooding in Dunvale Park. Our next bulletin is at 6 o'clock. Good evening. The obituary notices for this Tuesday evening, the 17th of October. The death has taken place at the Donegal Hospice of Drew Rolston, Glen McQuinn, Letterkenny. His remains will repose at his residence from 8 o'clock this evening. Funeral from there at 1:15 on Thursday afternoon, for service at 2 o'clock in Convoy Presbyterian Church, with burial afterwards in the adjoining churchyard in the family plot. Family time, please, from 11 p.m. to 11 a.m. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu of desired to the Donegal Hospice, care of any family member or Gibson Funeral Directors, Convoy. The death has occurred of Kathleen Molly Shields, Conybrough Road, Lifford. Her remains will repose at her late residence from 6 o'clock this evening. Funeral from there on Thursday morning at 10:20, going to St Patrick's Church, Murlock, for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass, with burial afterwards in the Old Cemetery. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu of desired to Craig House, Sligo, care of Kelly's Funeral Directors, Oakfield, Ruffaut, or any family member. Family time, please, from 11 p.m. to 11 a.m. and on the morning of the funeral. The death has taken place of Margaret O'Donnell, Rosemount, Kilmacrennan. Her remains are reposing at her son Josie's residence at 1 Hillview, Kilmacrennan. Remains leaving there for 11 o'clock funeral mass in St Columbus Chapel, Kilmacrennan, on Thursday morning, with burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. The house is private, please. Family, friends and neighbours of the deceased welcome. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu of desired to Hillcrest Nursing Home Patients Comfort Fund, care of any family member. The death has taken place of Catch Logue Downings. Her remains are reposing at her daughter Breed Burns' residence. Funeral from there on Thursday to the Church of St John the Baptist, Carrigart, for Requiem Mass at 11 o'clock, followed by interment in the adjoining cemetery. Family time, please, from 11 p.m. to 11 a.m. The death has occurred at her home of Nora Gallagher, Main Street, Stranorer, wife of the late Jack Gallagher. Her remains will repose at her home until rosary at 10 o'clock tonight and again tomorrow from 11 a.m. until rosary at 10 p.m. Funeral from her home on Thursday morning at 10:30 for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass in the Church of Mary Immaculate's Stranorder, followed by interment in Drumbo Cemetery. The sudden death has taken place at his home of Raymond Graham, 314 Ballycommon Estate, Strabam, formerly of Main Street, Sion Mills. His remains are reposing at his home. Funeral from there on Thursday morning at 9:15 for Requiem Mass in St Mary's Church, Millmount at 10 o'clock. Interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Donations in lieu of flowers, please, to Macmillan Cancer Support, care of Quigley Funeral Directors, 1A Newton Place, Strabam. Family time, please, from 11 p.m. to 11 a.m. The death has taken place of Frieda Smith, Bunlin, Milford. Her remains are reposing at her late residence. Funeral Mass on Thursday at 12 noon in St. Peter's Church, Milford, with burial afterwards in Milford Cemetery. House private, please. Neighbours and friends, welcome. Family time, please, from 11 p.m. to 10 a.m. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu of desired to the Heart Foundation, care of Sweeney Funeral Directors, Milford. The death has taken place of Joseph Allen, Joe Nicol, Karen Cleave, Fawn, County Donegal. His remains are reposing at his brother's home at 2 Stony Wood, Prehen, Derry. Removal from there tomorrow afternoon at 1 o'clock for funeral service in St Mary's Parish Church, Fawn, at 2. Interment afterwards in the adjoining churchyard. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to St Mary's Parish Church, Fawn, care of any family member. The death has taken place of Carmel Doherty, Neil Lynch, 19, Gaddy Duff, Clonmany. Her remains are reposing at her late residence. Funeral from there on Thursday morning at 20 to 11 for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass in St Mary's Church, Clonmany, followed by burial in the new cemetery. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu of desired to the Oncology Ward, Letterkenny University Hospital, care of Comiskey Funeral Directors, or any family member. And the death has taken place at his home of Lawrence Devine, 92, Carricane Road, Dunamana. His remains are reposing at his home. Funeral from there tomorrow morning at 11 for Requiem Mass in St Mary's Church, Ahabrack, at 12 noon. Interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Donations in lieu of flowers, please, to Marie Curie, care of Quigley Funeral Directors, 1A Newton Place, Strabam. Family time, please, from 11 p.m. to 11 a.m.